this drink. So you're not dead.
I'm not actually dead, no.
I mean, we really, I think I just lost like 50 bucks on you. I mean, it was just radio. Like, we actually got worried. Like, we heard, like, Mike's really sick. We can't hang out this weekend. And then nothing for like 5 days. And we're like, did Mel die too?
I assumed that she was communicating with you on another, without involving me, like, saying.
She did that day, and then that was basically it.
Okay.
And then it was radio silence. And I'm like, is it Dawn of the Dead?
I'm just out of it. I was sick. I was on antibiotics, which I don't think actually did anything.
They killed all your gut flora.
Yeah, I know. I'm restocking tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Starting to, early
probiotic-ing
today.
Probiotic-ing you up.
Yeah, so for anybody who listened to the last episode, those health drinks did absolutely nothing to help me, and I took a dive health-wise the very next day.
Let's get to the important part. Did your poop look like the sewer drink? Because mine fucking did.
I did notice that, but I did notice some very pungent gaseous emissions after that. I got so bad, like, starting the day after that.
Right.
I was concerned that we did actually drink something that had gone terribly, terribly bad and spoiled and was actually full of bad bacteria.
Well, I did call the episode, like, snake oil testers or something. So, yeah, it's possible, man.
So the fact that you were okay more or less after that gave me hope, at least.
I'm not a good litmus test for that because Erica will get grievously ill and I will get nothing from the same thing. So I just have an iron stomach.
All right. I think it was a virus thing. I ended up going to the urgent care place. There's always, like, hardly ever anybody there. We go to the one in Victor. So if something is going wrong and you're like, I need something, but I don't need an emergency room, the urgent care in Victor is usually pretty quiet.
Rich people don't go to urgent care.
I guess. They just go right to Strong or, you know, whatever.
I'll go to my private doctor and I'll get a, what is it, what do they call the helicopter ride?
Evac?
Mercy flight. The Mercy flight.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a Mercy flight because I can afford it. Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are?
S. Michael Smith, and you are?
M. Michael Carassi.
And they put me on, they didn't even test anything. They didn't do a throat culture.
They're awful. They will just put anyone on antibiotics without a second thought.
They did. And I was, you know, I was a little taken aback. But my throat was really hurting at that point, and I wasn't going to say, you know, can I please have a throat culture just to make sure?
Did you just rub around the horrifically painful, sore inner part of my throat real quick with a swab?
Yeah. But they didn't do that, and they gave me antibiotics, and like a week later, I started feeling better.
Yeah. So,
usually, it's my understanding that if the antibiotics are going to work, they'll work, like, within just a few days.
Like two or three.
Yeah.
Yeah, some statistic.
So it was probably just a virus
thing. They don't check. And I think the thing I read said that, based on actual research, only about 30% of ear infections in children are bacterial. But they give all, like, you bring your kids, we discovered, you bring your kid with an ear infection, they just give you antibiotics. They don't check or anything.
Yeah.
And, like, 70% of the time, you're just nuking their system for no reason.
Yeah. So that's basically what I did.
Right.
And it was like going from my throat, like, kind of up into my ear. Mm. It was bad, bad. Mm. But I'm fine now.
And no idea, like, what? You just got it?
Yeah.
Did, like, a child lick you?
No.
Did a mutated creature bite you?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Mm. But we're not ruling it out entirely.
Not ruling it out entirely, no.
Okay, good.
So it could have been something that affected my memory, too. So, you know.
You know, they go hand in hand. Or
could have been aliens.
Claw and UFO.
So speaking of aliens and UFO and weird sci-fi things.
How about this drink?
Oh, this is a good drink. This is delicious. I like this a lot. I know there's some kombucha in it.
Yeah. Erica found an article from, I think, Real Simple. It was 6 kombucha cocktail recipes.
Oh, nice.
So I was going through them and I was like, this one's got cinnamon, this one's got rosé, this will kill Smike, this will hurt Smike. And then I found this one, and this is, it's a little more basic than what I started. I mean, I started with something a little more basic, but it's, long story short, I turned this into a grapefruit ginger kombucha margarita.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm definitely getting margarita out of this.
Yeah, it's supposed to be plain kombucha, grapefruit juice, lime juice, and tequila. I went with, and simple syrup. I mm-hmm. added the ginger kombucha, mm-hmm. like tweaked some stuff a little bit, but yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, this is good. This would be, I would call this an excellent margarita.
And I added the bitter, and to make it a little bit different, I added the bitter charcoal salt at the end.
Oh.
That was what was floating on top.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not a big fan of sweet drinks, so mm-hmm. a lot of times you get the margarita at the restaurant, it's like just so sweet.
Because they use the mix.
Yeah.
Mix is shit.
But this I could drink a lot of this.
Yeah, there's a lime and a half of juice in there, and then like a quarter of a giant grapefruit. And I didn't rim it. I fucking straight up put the salt in there. I'm like, bam, I'm going to emerald this motherfucker. So, sorry, sci-fi, what?
Should we talk about, I've been reading a lot of...
I honestly don't know where this is going.
That's okay. I've been reading a lot of old Captain Marvel comics.
Mm.
And this is, I think I've talked before once or twice about, I used to like Captain Marvel, but I didn't really understand what was going on because I would just like... You know, pick up a couple of episodes or a couple of issues
here and there
at a garage sale, and like, the hell is this? This guy is crazy, man.
And now you read it all, and you still don't know what's going on.
Oh, I do know what's going on. I know exactly what's going on. So a lot of comics went on sale over Christmas break. There was a big sale on Comixology, and I got like I think all of the Captain Marvel collected volumes.
Wow.
So I just like went nonstop starting at the beginning. and this is going to sound crazy and weird, but I'm just going to like sort of blow through the plot points and what how this guy got started. And feel free to just mock this at any time.
Okay.
Because it's crazy and stupid at the same time.
Okay.
So they wanted to do a kind of a superhero that had kind of a spacey sort of origin. This was like in the
70s?
No, this is like late 60s.
Okay.
Mid to late 60s. I think 67 was when the first one came out. But they were, you know, specifically wanting that sci-fi themed hero to throw into the Marvel universe. So they get this dude. He's a captain of a Kree. Captain, he's not the captain of the ship. He's like under a commander.
He's the lieutenant, the sub-captain.
Yeah, he's a ranking officer on a Kree ship that is sent to basically decide, to study Earth and decide if they should just blow it the fuck up.
Okay.
So that's his charter is, all right, find out as much as you can about Earth and figure out if we want to blow them up or not.
There's really only two options here.
Yeah.
It's either blow it up or blow it up later.
So the spin on it is that his girlfriend is the medic on this ship.
Whoa!
I know, whoa.
Not that big a spin.
And that his commander on this ship is a complete douchebag, and he's in love with Cap's girlfriend.
But not Captain Marvel. I mean, not Captain America, for the record.
Not Captain America. This is Mar-Vell.
Right. What do you call him?
Mar-Vell. That's his name.
So it's like Car-Vell?
Yes, kind of. Car-Vell.
Does he make sweet, sweet frozen ice cream cakes?
He probably could, because his powers change so much over time. I have no doubt that making an ice cream sundae would be one of those things that he could just throw out.
And you've been sundaed, bad guy.
So, in some senses, he is, like, one of the worst superhero characters ever written. And I'll kind of get into that.
When you told me a lot of this, like, a couple weeks ago, like, your takeaway was that they had no fucking clue.
They didn't.
What to do with him, right? For the longest time.
So, yeah. So, basically, he's the only one that they're sending down to Earth to do all the, like, investigation and...
Was it, like, a Monster of the Week thing where they're, like...
Yeah, it was a lot of Monster of the Week stuff. Like just you know, throw some stupid here's Nitro, he's a human explosion and he's your villain.
Sort of a one trick bomb.
I know. He explodes and then like reforms himself somehow. That's his whole thing.
There was a, I don't know if that was the same character, but that was on S.H.I.E.L.D. at one point.
Oh.
That concept. He was an Inhuman. Anyway, go on.
So, he's there. He's trying to blend in with the humans. And his commander is like constantly just trying to get him killed.
Because he wants
Yeah, he wants him dead so he can bone his girlfriend.
And you said that the way they treat women in
this. Like, she knows it, and he knows it. Everybody basically knows, oh, yeah, the commander's trying to get Mar-Vell killed.
But Mar-Vell doesn't know that.
No, he knows. He totally knows. Oh. Everybody knows this. But he's like, yeah, well, he's my boss. I got to do this anyway.
Got to go punch the clock and maybe get killed. See you later, honey.
So that's all going on. And yeah, the women characters are so terribly written in this. They basically exist to be that, to be the girlfriend that's pining for him, the prize that these two men are. This is a very lopsided fight. They're sort of fighting over her.
Okay,
but they're not really fighting. I mean,
well, one's scheming.
Yon-Rogg, and that's the cat commander's name, Yon-Rogg. This is where they were like throwing letters together.
All right, guys, I got a magnet board and my kid's alphabet magnet set. Start tossing them. Yon-Rogg. Okay, next.
So they start him off, and his powers are he's a little bit strong. I mean, he's stronger than the average human because I guess
the
Kree homeworld or wherever he's from has higher gravity. Stronger gravity, so that makes so he can do strong things.
Do nothing of his own doing. Stronger. He's just stronger. Okay,
and he's had the same training that every other Kree soldier has. So he's
now, for the record, the Kree are pretty badass.
Yeah, they're kind of badass. They're
they are fucking shit up on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, yeah, I can't wait to get to that. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm
this season of S.H.I.E.L.D. is phenomenal. Yeah. It just found its... I think it found its stride last season with the framework stuff, but this season was just like, oh, let's go from that to, oh, fuck. This just found its stride. Go on. Okay.
So he has a belt that's basically like a jetpack, so he can fly because he has a jetpack.
Which is funny, because I knew he could fly, but not with the jetpack, so I know that shit changes.
Yeah. And he's got this weapon on his wrist that is like a universal weapon thing that just
does
like,
everything.
Yeah, it does like shoots like whatever laser, random thing
fire, ice, whatever he needs.
Yeah, not quite that much range, but knock people out or knock a hole in something or yeah, whatever.
Concussive blast.
Yeah. So that's how he starts off, and he gets on. He's on Earth, and he's like, I kind of like the Earth people. I really don't want to kill them if I don't have to. So he's like always going out of the way to try to protect these people that he's trying to blend
in. I will study Earth. Oh, let me get this cat out of the tree for you, man.
Yeah, okay. It's like that. And his Kree superiors are like, what the fuck are you doing, man? You're going to like blow your cover. You're going to screw up the mission.
Why aren't you dead yet?
Yeah, why aren't you dead yet? And then, like, there's one issue where he part of the storyline is they tell him to release this like basically nerve gas into a human town to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
the way that they work around that, his solution to this is he sort of stumbles into this. It's like kind of a theme park where it's like one of those old timey villages.
Okay.
You know, people like dressed up and it's like a Ren Faire basically, or, you know, one of the ones that's like a village that you can see. This is how we used to turn.
Oh, the historic village.
Yeah. Historic village. Except all the people are actually robots.
I'm rolling my eyes very dramatically right now. I see where this is going.
So he's like, okay, I know I'm being watched, so, oh, here I'm in a village of humans. I will release that. Oh, look, nothing happened. Well, there we go. Hey, I tried.
Nerve gas doesn't do anything. Make a note.
So, yeah, it was bullshit like that. So things kind of escalate. This gets handed off from one writing team to another. People don't like it. It's not selling well. The writers themselves are like, oh, God, I hate this guy. He's boring. He's
Stan Lee was not known as being magnanimous to a character that wasn't selling.
No. And they borderline canned this comic so many times.
So why didn't they just axe it?
Well, it basically became the sort of thing of like, hey, I got a crazy idea. All right, go
fuck right, Captain
with, go
Marvel.
Fuck with Captain Marvel. Like, yeah, I'm going to go fuck with Captain Marvel. Woo!
So it became like
because
the sandbox
nobody would care.
Of the Marvel.
Yeah. Like, whatever wild, crazy-ass idea you had, you could go take it out on Captain Marvel.
At that point, it's the 70s, and there was a lot of wild, crazy-ass ideas at the Marvel offices.
Yeah, so at one point, his girlfriend gets killed trying to save him.
No!
Yeah. And he's like, it's a big turning point, and he's like, he goes crazy, and he hijacks a rocket from Earth, and like, flies off. Yon-Rogg intercepts his rocket, slings him out into deep space.
In the rocket.
In his rocket, with Uma's, his girlfriend's dead body on board.
Of course.
So, he ends up landing on this asteroid.
Oh, so men get hyphenated names and women don't? I see how it fucking is.
So basically, he puts his girlfriend's corpse on an asteroid. Okay.
What better way to be remembered
than
to be floating on a lifeless rock in space that will immediately get lost?
And he just sort of like wanders off into deep space. He gets taken in by this entity called Zoe. Z-O.
It was not Ego the Living Planet.
No.
We determined.
No. And Zoe grants him these, like, crazy powers.
Mm-hmm.
He makes him even stronger.
He can really fly.
Gives him the ability to really fly. Gives him the ability to make people see things. Like, I'm going to imagine a monster, and you're going to see that monster.
I see a monster.
And so he ends up going back to Earth, and he, like, uses these weird powers.
Did the Kree ever invade, and he saves Earth from them?
No.
No.
Not really.
That seems like where it would have all been going.
So he's got these weird powers that last for, like, a couple of episodes. Or a couple. I keep wanting to say episodes.
Yeah. Because
that's how I think about it. And then he gets taken back to the Kree homeworld, where they've got the Supreme Intelligence, which is like this giant, like, room-sized head, and a giant vat.
It's called the Supreme Intelligence, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
What else would it be?
With tentacles on its head.
It's the Krang, so it's a giant Krang.
Yeah. And it turns out that Zoe was actually Ronan the Accuser and some other guy who were fucking with him in order to try to get to the Supreme Intelligence. And then the Supreme Intelligence and him take care of them, and he gets sort of a weird upgrade he's not sure about.
Now, just for the record, Ronan the Accuser is the bad guy in the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Yes.
Those who don't.
They didn't really do much with him in that movie, obviously.
Yeah.
He's actually kind of just like a jihadist
in the movie.
Yeah.
That was his one shtick.
He's actually got, he does some pretty cool stuff. I did also read, we'll get a little nerd tangent here, the Annihilation Wave storyline.
Sure.
Which is, it's kind of a cool story. This invading force comes out of the Negative Zone, which ties in with Captain Marvel.
Adam Warlock.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Probably.
Wait.
Half of the cosmic Marvel characters.
Ah, it was one of those. Okay.
So they they just murder most of the galaxy.
Oh, sweet.
So they they destroy the Nova Corps, and
they always getting destroyed somehow.
Yeah. And they destroyed like most of the Skrull Empire and most of the Kree Empire.
Damn.
But the cool part about the Annihilation Wave stuff is that they take a couple of villain characters and give them hero storylines.
Right.
So they do. Ronan the Accuser becomes a really cool badass, like, anti-hero in that. And so does Super Skrull.
Huh. Okay.
Now, Super Skrull.
The Skrulls are shapeshifters, right?
That's their Skrulls thing. Are shapeshifters. Super Skrull is such a stupid name.
It's just one dude?
Whose it's name just is, one dude.
Did he name him? Do you wake up one day and, like, I'm Superhuman Man? Because that's the equivalent of that name.
It is. And you can tell by, like, the stupider the name is, the farther back that character goes, like, the 60s or whatever.
And if you go further, it's all animal names. Like, if you go back far enough in like, the X-Men mythology, like, the person who... Or it goes back to biblical stuff beyond that. So it goes to animals and then biblical stuff. So, like, Lucifer, I think, is the name of the villain who crippled Professor X originally. Like, there's a weird... I was reading about this. There's this weird, like, strata... Of, like, if you dig back further enough, you can see, you can tell, just like what you said, you can tell by the villain's name how far back it goes in certain...
That makes sense. That's cool. Okay. So Super Skrull has, he was made somehow to fight the Fantastic Four.
Right. Okay. Yeah, he was a Fantastic Four villain originally.
Yes. And he has the power of all of them.
Okay.
So he can use all, each of their, the stretching...
Invisibility, force fields, flame, and rock.
Rock, whatever.
So he's the Fantastic One.
Yeah, he is. He's a Fantastic One.
Which, by the way, better fucking name than Super Skrull, for the record.
Yeah, yeah. And he's really good at killing people.
Oh, that's good.
Because he puts their powers together in a way that is much more vicious and murdery than any of them do.
As it should be.
But yeah, it's the Annihilation Wave story is cool because it, you know, it lets him be sort of a hero in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of neat. Anyway, so Marvel gets those powers, the little upgrade, and then he gets thrown into the Negative Zone. And then Rick Jones, who was like a buddy of the Hulk.
Right.
On Earth, stumbles across these Kree... Negabands,
which are just metal bracelets.
Yeah, and he puts them on and he clangs them together
for some reason.
And then he trades places with Captain Mar-Vell. So Rick goes to the Negative Zone. Mar-Vell is wherever Rick was at that time.
Right.
So and yet it was definitely a the kind word is homage to the. The Fawcett Comics Captain Marvel, which is the one with Billy Batson or whatever his name was,
right.
Who would just say Shazam and then he would be turned into Shazam. So they definitely had that in mind when they did the, okay, Rick Jones can Shazam this Captain
and to get, Marvel. Which is funny because then Alan Moore did an homage to those both with Miracle Man. Which is a way crazier, much more postmodern, fucked up take on it. But it's the same body switching concept.
So then they get that going. And then Mar-Vell runs into this thing called Eon, which is part of the Thanos and the Titans storyline.
Okay. And so now we're in the acid trippy cosmic part of Marvel.
Yes. Now we're getting... This is where his powers just, they go like, here, what the fuck?
Because he was the most powerful person in the Marvel Universe at one point, wasn't he?
His powers are like, okay, I got to get to this, where he is granted the power, and I am not making this up, of cosmic awareness.
Yes, which has always, always been a dumbass fucking power, just on paper. Because what...
And that's like, that's his big,
yeah.
That's his main thing from then on.
And he talks about it all the time, I know. Too. He's like, I have been granted the power of cosmic awareness.
And people are like, dude, you dropped acid. That's not a power.
Yo, can I have what you're smoking, bro?
So, yeah. He has cosmic awareness, and he's got the...
So what, that just means he's omnipotent?
It doesn't... It means whatever the fuck they want it to mean in that particular issue.
Right, gotcha.
And then he's got the Nega Band, which turns out eventually they can transform mental... They can transform thoughts into energy. So he's sort of like a weird, not quite Green Lantern, but sort of Green Lantern, but not really.
It didn't have to be green.
Yeah. He doesn't, like, make objects appear, right, but he probably could if he wanted to.
He can alter reality, though.
Sort of? They're so vague. He is, like, the Star Trek Next Generation...
Q?
No, he's like that. Whatever plot device is his power. Because like in the, if you remember the old Star, the TNG episodes, where at any given time, whatever power, technological feat needed to be done, they could do. Likewise, whatever technological hindrance would serve the storyline would happen.
I guess I haven't seen enough episodes. I really like TNG, but I didn't watch a ton of it.
So basically, it's his powers serve whatever the story needs.
So he was always using a skeleton key.
Right. Okay. And likewise with his weaknesses, though. Okay. So whatever needs to go wrong with him goes wrong.
Okay.
It's just...
It's really, really lazy writing.
It is. It's the laziest there's of writing. Like, yeah. Hardly any consistency to it. and it's... They even admitted, and I'm like reading some of the forewords, which are, you know, like, this is what was going on behind the scenes.
Right.
They even admit, like, this character was just basically an ink blot. he had no personality. He could, at any given time, be aware of anything.
That we needed him to be
aware
of. That
we needed him to be, or like, oblivious to whatever. And his power could either, it could be as strong or as weak as the story needed to be.
Did you finish it?
No, I'm still going through it.
Do you know where it ends, though, right?
Yeah, I know. I totally know where it ends.
Because I've read that. I know where his story ends.
And that's... And spoiler alert, he gets cancer and dies. Yes.
Like, straight up killed by cancer. And, like, I remember in that collection, like, the Beast and I think Doctor Strange and Adam Warlock, like, everyone's there. And Rick Jones is like, why? We have literally the smartest beings in the fucking universe. Why can't we cure cancer? And they're like, we never have. We've never tried or something. And it's like, well, he's dead. So way to go, assholes. But it was that moment. It was a funny, like, sort of semi-fourth wall breaking where it's like, we can be really kooky and crazy with our comics, but there's some areas we still can't. Like, we can't beat cancer.
Yeah.
In a comic because it's too real for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I think, and I know that it's also notable that he died of cancer and he's just dead.
He never came back.
Not coming back.
They did not. Yeah, and it probably, there was a lot of writers probably like, thank God. Jesus Christ.
But it's interesting. I'm still going through it and I'm enjoying it and on some levels.
It sounds like, batshit insane.
It is. And I kind of get, you know, what I liked when I was a kid because... like I said, I would pick up just sort of random issues,
right,
and be like, what is going on here? This is crazy. I want to find out more about this because he was a cipher. I mean, he had no personality.
Well, also, it sounds like the plot like just was all over the fucking place. So if you checked in at any given time, you'd be like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
That reminds me of the first X-Men comic I ever read was a very random reference decades in advance of Age of Onslaught. Where the X-Men get killed by one of their own. And that was a very big plot in the early aughts, late 90s, early aughts.
Mm-hmm.
But in like the late 80s, early 90s, they found this comic where they went forward. It was in the future and someone went looking and they went to Gambit. He was the only survivor.
Hmm.
And they're like, what happened to the X-Men? I'm like, wait, they're dead? I thought what is going on? And then it they go back to the normal comic line after that. I have no fucking clue what was going on until years later. I was like, oh, Professor X turned bad for a brief period of time and killed everyone. All right.
So yeah, I'm enjoying. Oh, and the black characters are so terribly treated with this. I swear, I just read a couple of issues in the last day here. And the only time, the only black male characters I saw were consistently random people who were carrying jam boxes around.
Oh my god! Did they have headbands on?
At least one of them.
I'm sure. Yeah. Oh wow.
It's awful, and like I said, the women character, it's. I think it's trending a little bit better as we get towards the 80s, but it's still
relatively.
And I mean, that's not going to just be for Captain Marvel. That's like,
no, that was comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were written for a certain age and mindset from a certain age and mindset.
So that's the nerd trip I've been off on. Cosmic awareness.
Cosmic. I have the Smike. I don't want to blow your mind, but I've been granted the power of cosmic awareness. And for $20, I'll send you a dime bag of it, bro.
It's funny, whenever they do cosmic, they like talk about his cosmic awareness, it's the same like three panels. It shows like a close-up on his face, and then it's a second shot of the same close-up, but you see like stars in his
face. Yeah, then
there's like the third one where like his, it's just the outline of his face, and then like galaxies and spiral star clusters.
Yeah, I've seen those.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh my God.
Scott, it's really fascinating to read Scott McCloud and his whole like dissection of the language of comic books and the way the frames work and what information is between the frames and all that kind of stuff. Because he breaks down weird shit like that. Like, you know, this has been established as a normative way of conveying a thing that on its own makes no sense. But then when you look at it contextually, it makes perfect sense. And the comics are fascinating, fucking fascinating things. I was granted the power of surviving two children's birthday parties in a week. I have not fully recovered.
You sounded like you were, we only texted a little bit yesterday, but you sounded like you were not in a good place.
Yeah, well, you were like, hey, I'm feeling better. Do you want to do this Sunday? And I'm like, I'm not going to be able to podcast after this weekend. I was.
So what were the themes for the parties?
So first of all, to answer the question that I've gotten multiple times, we did two parties because we're in what I call the daycare birthday party circuit. So Simon, for better or worse, Simon straddles like two age groups. Really, he's going to end up straddling kind of two grades worth of friends, which means he gets invited to a fuck ton of birthday parties.
Yeah.
And with the daycare thing, like especially at this age, no one wants their other kids at their house. So you go, you do a party somewhere. You do an event party. So we went to a friend of ours' twins' birthday party at the Rochester Museum and Science Center last year, and it was dope. So I was like, I really want to do this for Simon. So the first one on Saturday was at the museum, and they have this room, the Carson Discovery Room, and it's got like reptiles and snakes and tarantula and all sorts of shit in there, like live stuff and experiments you do. They did liquid nitrogen ice cream, which is cool. We got a lot of pictures of that. So yeah, so they made astronaut helmets and they played with toys and then they made egg drop parachutes and threw them off a balcony.
Oh.
And the parents were doing most of the work. Okay. The kids got to throw them off.
This is work involved here.
Oh yeah, no, it's a lot of work. It's a long party too. It was like a 3-hour party. And then the big thing at the end was after the liquid nitrogen ice cream, which was cool. So here's a funny story. So they have a party planner. It was incredibly well done. Like the best experience I've had forever planning an event of the few times I've done it. But the party planner kept going through like the itinerary, you know, over the phone and stuff. And she kept saying, so we'll get your sheet pizza. And I was like, we need to. We're going to have a lot of people there. She goes, okay. And then we'll get you a cake from Savoia's. And she'd pause. She does multiple times.
Just to make sure that's okay with you, I guess? Or?
No, I knew that there was something that I was supposed to be impressed about, but I didn't fucking if I know what Savoia's is. So I would just say nothing.
I don't know what that is.
Well, I can kind of answer the question, but I still don't. So, like, you know, again, multiple times she brings this up, and I don't take the bait because I don't fucking know what she's talking about. So I'm just like, all right, great. So at the party, there's a box from this bakery. Savoia is sitting there with our cake in it. And, like, multiple parents come up to Erica and I, and they're like, you got a cake from Savoia's? And I'm like, what does that mean? Why are you asking me in a hushed, reverent tone? I don't understand. I guess it's some, like, Rochester famous old school Italian bakery.
Okay.
It was a really good cake. It tasted like banana, but it was like a chocolate vanilla marble cake. Erica hated it because it was buttercream. I loved it. Simon loved it. He also liked his, you know, sci-fi ice cream, the smoke coming out of it and shit. She just took a vat of liquid nitrogen and started pouring it into it. So I thought that was pretty funny. I'm like, yeah, I should have been like, yeah, oh yeah, oh, I know Mr. Savoia. But then they brought out, so they draped a corn snake around Simon, like his shoulders, and he was totally down with it. And they petted a gecko, they put it on the wall and let it crawl around. Everyone got to touch it, and also a tortoise. We actually worked him up to the snake, so it was tortoise, gecko, snake. Not many kids went for the snake. One poor friend of his had a little bit of a like, I can do this, I can't do this. She was like huddled up.
I guess he was kind of primed by seeing our snakes.
He even did it last year. I mean, he's been exposed to snakes thanks to you guys, so he was like old hat.
Yeah.
He had a big grin on his face. That's cool. He loved it. Yeah, he loved it. So that was the first party. It was great because it was somewhere else. Didn't have to clean up shit. And all we did was roll in with... I was really proud of the favors.
Mm-hmm.
So... I don't have any more. So we bought these fake periodic element boxes.
Okay, what?
They spell out the word science. So they're made up elements that spell out science. But they look like the periodic element. It's like a cube.
Okay.
But they were fucking huge. And we didn't realize that when we bought them. So we bought like what we thought were really cool party favors, like dinosaur skeletons, magnifying glass, and all this shit. But when you put it in the box, it took up like 1/10 of the box. I'm like, God damn it, this party's costing a fortune already.
So you're like looking around, what can we stuff in here?
Exactly. And I'm thinking like...
Put grapefruit in each one. All right, there we go.
It's the globe. So I was thinking like, how can I fill a lot of this space and do something science-y? And you can't really, like, searching for science party favors, spoiler, not easy. Mm-hmm. And doesn't, you know, find much. What I ended up landing on was make your own complete in a bag volcano kit.
Okay.
And I thought this all of my own, so I was pretty proud of this. So I took a 35mm film canister, and I wrapped it in a brown paper bag cone, so it looked like a volcano. And I filled the film canister with dish soap, food coloring, and vinegar.
Okay.
Capped it, sealed it, took a little mini test tubes, filled them with baking soda.
Oh.
Capped it, sealed it, put instructions in.
Uh-huh.
I did a bunch of tests. So Simon and I did a whole bunch of like home volcano tests.
To get the proportions right.
Well, I thought that's what I was doing. And then I realized that the proportions, the volumes that they said on Facebook or on Amazon were utter bullshit. Luckily, they scaled correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But basically I said, you know, in the instructions, like take the cone and the canister, open it, put it in a bowl so it'll be easy to clean.
Right.
Take the test tube, dump it in. So it's the entire, you know, science school fair volcano experience with zero work.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, people are sending us videos of doing it. So I'm pretty proud of that. It still didn't come close to filling the box, but it looked like, you know, some thought went into it.
Okay.
So, but then they threw all our presents on a cart, you know, carted us out. It was great. And then yesterday was the family and friends kids party.
All right, you say that and your voice is like going down.
Because I haven't recovered from this one yet.
As you're saying those
this
words.
This was at our house.
So this was, I guess, not quite as fun for you.
It was entertaining at times. It was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles party.
Uh-huh.
So we were kind of stoked for that because we fucking love that the new show. And Simon loves it. It's his new thing. So we decorated, we bought a pin the pepperoni pizza on Mikey like game. We had the little streams, you'll see, you probably saw them upstairs. They're still hanging off of the ceiling. There's shit everywhere, all turtle stuff. Erica went nuts. She did sewer lids, Oreos.
Okay.
They look like manhole covers if you look at them. She made Ninja Turtles out of like grapes and fruit and vegetables. And so like blueberries as the Leonardo's mask. Because it's blue, and then grapes.
Wow.
Is... So if you looked at them from above, they were the Ninja Turtle faces. And she made a pizza out of crackers as the crust, and then cheese slices, and then actual slice of pepperoni. She really went all out. And then I took Adwala, the green machine Adwala, put it in a punch bowl, put that in an ice thing, and it was the ooze with a ladle. So we all had fun. We only had like 12 kids. We had like twice the number of adults as kids. So it just turned into a madhouse. We didn't really have enough room. We ordered 2 rounds of pizza, which was a smart idea. Erica had that idea.
Yeah.
But the second pizza arrived not fully cooked.
Oh.
So that was kind of, yeah. Yeah. I guess you can't really defame. But yeah, I'm not going to order from that place again. The wings weren't really cooked from them either. Huh. At this point. But yeah, it was a fucking shit show. And... So I'm exhausted because it was like kids everywhere. You were stepping on a child, basically, if you turned. And it was, they were having a blast. They were like all, Simon's really good sharing his stories. So they were just, they found the power tools that Mel bought.
Mm-hmm.
And so many adults were dismembered. See, everyone played along. So the kids were running around with swords because Simon has a lot of weapons. So they were running around with swords and a chainsaw and a sawzall. Just fucking cutting people up.
Toy saws off.
Yeah, toy. Your wife bought him toy versions of those. And it was just like, ah! And it was just running around with the chainsaw and the saws all cutting people up. But there was that moment where I had like really bad flashbacks to like the worst times of working banquets. When like I was yelling for Erica, like, Erica, we got people who need to leave. We got to do the cake. And like Simon was taking a crap upstairs. She was with him. And she's like, I can't help. So I like had my family came and visited. So I was like, okay, get the cake and move the pizza. And I was like shouting orders and like cutting the cake and trying to do all the shit at the same time. So it got really intense. Really intense. Eric has got a great picture.
I'm glad I didn't come. We were invited, but we were like, no way. We understand it was a token invitation.
It was a token invitation.
We were never expected to.
We didn't want you to come for your sake. Also, you wouldn't have anywhere to stand. That wouldn't have had a child next to you.
Nightmare.
Well, I actually said to Eric, I'm pretty sure this party would have been Spike's like worst nightmare.
And Mel.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, it went. I mean, in the end, it went well. We went all out in the favors. Everyone seemed to have a good time. There was only one child other than Simon who actually liked Ninja Turtles at this party. What? So I was like, we bought
the nice. It's the birthday boy or girl's choice. Choice,
exactly. But we bought a bunch of nice fabric masks and we're like, oh, what turtle do you want? And like half the kids were like, who are they? And so I'd be like, what's your favorite color? Blue, orange, red, or purple.
There we go.
Here you go.
We'll find something to work with here.
Almost all the kids left their masks here. We're like, oh. You're supposed to take them home. Yeah, there's a picture of me on Facebook that Erica put up where I didn't know she took a picture of me, but I was so exhausted afterwards. I was on the floor, like sitting on the floor with like just my head in my hand. Like, you know, just utterly wiped. So I'm not fully recovered. Uh-huh. As you can see from my drooping eyelids.
Well, it's late. We're running a little later than usual.
That would be fine. This is just straight up. Have not had a good night's sleep in a while. It was stressful, man. A whole weekend of parties. Not doing that again. I think next year, Simon will finally be old enough where we can say, pick your friends from all walks of your life, and we will do one party.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that kind of happens as you get older. You're like, you get more focused on a smaller
group. I mean there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we were like forced into some play dates early on. Like, we know now, like, oh, Simon doesn't like that kid and that kid doesn't like Simon, so
yeah,
that was all the parents, you know.
Yeah, I remember stuff like that when I was a kid, like, oh, I'm gonna go have to play with this dick again.
Right, exactly. Because the parents, well, sometimes it's your parents' whim and your parents don't know. And other times, like, we were just feeling shit out. We didn't know.
Until one day you're like,
I really
Mom,
don't...
can we not, because he bites me, and I don't really like that.
Simon's
and...
like, he hits me. We're like, oh. Yeah. Oh, why didn't you tell it? We okay, yeah, man. We're not going to take you to, we're not going to force you in an abusive friendship. Jesus.
No, I remember that. I remember that shit.
You don't know. Kids don't necessarily tell their parents like really obvious shit, especially when you're young. So as a parent, you're like, I want to, you know, have my child have social interaction. I will do this. Oh, I'm actually in essence torturing you. Okay, good to know. Could have found that out sooner had you opened your mouth. But I have to laugh, otherwise I'd cry.
No, this is laugh. This is laugh material. This is.
But. Totally random. So I guess we're not getting to the caramels tonight.
It's late, man.
I know. But we should make, we should do this on the onset for the next episode.
Yeah.
I know Erica really wants us to do this.
I'm down with that. They look delicious.
I haven't touched them. I've been saving them for you.
Yeah, I see that.
Have you heard the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend? Have we talked about this?
We haven't talked about it. I understand it's a good show. I haven't seen it. I'm definitely put off by the title, and you know, it sounds like it's,
and it's a musical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything on paper made me not want to watch it, except that I know the main girl, the writer, star, producer, whatever. So there was a short period of time where I worked at a restaurant in Brooklyn, and I had an improv. I was directing an improv troupe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was always trying to get like comics to come open for us.
Mm-hmm.
We had a terrible venue in Long Island City that like took three trains to get to.
Oh, Long Island City.
It was shit. I know. Look, it was a lot of strategic mistakes. Everyone wanted to do improv, like to do improv in New York City. You remember how hard it was for us to get shows put together?
Yeah.
Like it cost three times as much and took three times the amount of work.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was.
Yeah, you know.
I'm familiar with that scene.
But it's worse now because there's all the schools and it's just more saturated. Anyway, so this there was a hostess at the restaurant I was working at, Rachel Bloom. Awesome girl, but she was a stand-up comic. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, would you, you know, just come open? It's a free, you know, venue, free spot for you. Get 10 minutes. So she rolled in super late. She did a funny set. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, she's really funny. But yeah, so apparently a couple years later, she developed this TV show and has done phenomenally well. I'm super happy for her. I don't know her very well. I can't claim she's a friend or anything. Mm-hmm. But I'm super stoked. So I knew she had the show. I knew based on the title and the premise and the fact that it had a musical element to it that it was not something I probably wanted to check out. But Erica talked me into it. And I got to say, it is fucking hilarious. And like it does, it's really smartly structured. And I will give you an example that will ruin a primo joke from the first episode. But you take convincing, so I'm going to twist your arm here.
Okay.
So if you have not seen Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and my recommendation's enough, go watch it and skip the next minute of the podcast. If you are waffling, listen on. So yeah, it's the premise is, and it's very self-aware. Mm-hmm. So she knows that she's the crazy ex-girlfriend. She runs into this guy, decides to chase him to some shithole in California from her $500,000 a year lawyer job in New York. Like it's a silly premise because she's having a breakdown. That's the whole thing. So she's losing it. So the musical element's really her going insane.
Okay.
So it makes the musical numbers funnier. But when I was totally on board with the show was the second song number of the first episode is the Sexy Getting Ready song, which is the title of the song. And it's her just doing Beyonce. But it's showing like the disgusting, awful, painful shit women do to look hot. So she's like doing wax and it's like blood spraying all over the wall. It's very over the top. But there's a moment at the end of the song, and this is what totally did it for me. And then they called back to it, which is brilliant. But this like super stereotypical Snoop Dogg looking rapper comes on and he just barely starts to rap into the song. And then he walks into the bathroom with her and he just stops. And he's like, damn, girl. Like, what? This is fucking disgusting, yo. Like, he's just looking at all the hair and all the blood stains. And he's like, this is what women do. Yo, I am seriously having a, yo, I'm being awoke right now. And he's like, he has this moment of self-realization and he walks off. He kills the song and he walks off camera and he goes, I got to go call all the bitches I've been mean to or something like that.
Oh, God.
And then at the end of the episode ends, and then it cuts back to him leaving voicemails for all of the women. And it like just shows their reactions listening to him, like, I'm sorry, I want to talk about the other self. And like he like reads all these like philosophers and all these feminist writers. It is fucking hilarious. So I was like, all right, because that was the test episode to see if Erica was gonna watch it on her own or not. And I'm like, no, I'm super happy to support Rachel, and this show is fucking smart.
All right.
So I have to recommend it.
And what is that on?
Netflix? Oh, it's streaming, yeah. So I think
it's on one of them.
It's either Hulu or Netflix. I think it might be Hulu. Oh, maybe Netflix. Fuck. It's probably on both.
All right. Well, while we're talking about streaming shows.
Yeah.
I watched the first couple of episodes of the Philip K. Dick Electric
Dreams. Electric Boogaloo.
I keep wanting to say Electric Sheep because I know that's the first. But
well, that's
do what androids dream of electric sheep
is what Blade Runner.
So I think the show is just Electric Dreams, and it's an anthology show.
Philip K. Dick really liked electricity.
Yeah, it's an anthology show, much like
Black Mirror, which I feel like it's probably trying to be.
Well, okay. So the thing is that they're taking Philip K. Dick stories, short stories mostly.
Okay,
and there's a lot of them, and
he was prolific.
Yeah, and the directors have been given. Very, I guess the writers and the directors for the screenplays have been given very wide range to, here's the frame, take the story as a framework and just do whatever you want with it.
Okay.
Excuse me.
It's like a green cloud that came out there.
Yeah. So there's a lot of latitude here.
Have you read the source?
I have not. Okay. I have not. So I watched the first couple of episodes. And they're really boring. Now this comes after I think I've watched like 2.5 seasons of Black Mirror.
That's a tough act. Like going from anthology that to another anthology sci-fi show would be a real tough act to follow.
And it is, and that's part of it. And that's not just part of it. That's a huge part of it. because
Black Mirror is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, but the thing with the Philip K. Dick stories is that. You know, they're decades old now.
Right. So everything's going to feel dated.
It is dated. And this is And Black Mirror is an evolution of decades since these Philip K. Dick stories have come out. And whatever the writing and directing teams have done
to try to update
not
them.
Enough.
Right.
It's not enough. They got some star power behind them.
But they're probably trying to be somewhat I would imagine they're trying to be somewhat honest to the source material. But that's probably holding them back, I would imagine.
Maybe, but it can't get close to what Black Mirror does.
I don't see how, yeah.
And I mean the strength of Black Mirror for me is when it takes something and just is like, let's take an idea, a technologically related idea,
right,
and just look at it maybe like a year from now,
right. Well, basically let it the iterations, several iterations past where it is now.
Yeah, right? But not that much. Far enough that it's like that's really. Disturbingly plausible.
Like, so the Waldo moment we talked about.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier.
And that came out in 2013. That was well before Trump.
Yes. And a lot of the reviews were saying that was the weakest episode.
Were they saying that after Trump?
No.
Yeah, before Trump at the
but
time.
But before Trump, it was like, this isn't, it's really kind of far-fetched, something like that. It was that last scene where Waldo was everywhere.
Yeah.
Because
they did the multinational corporate icon thing.
Yeah.
Which actually was, to me, the most plausible part of it, but...
But yeah, that was the main criticism of it was like, it was a little
too far.
Too much of a jump at the end.
Right, but no, it wasn't.
Yeah, but...
it got utterly proven wrong.
Completely changed after one election.
So, just looking back at these, whenever anyone talks about the show, it's a show where the guy has to fuck a pig. Like, it's funny because it sets a tone that is utterly not what the show is. I think that's...
Yeah.
You know? I mean, but the point of that is, like, media voyeurism.
Yes.
So it is actually the tone of the show, but people concentrate on the vulgar part of it.
Yes.
But the whole rest of the episode is brilliant because it's, like, especially at the end. I mean, look, guys, this has been out for... 6 years at this point, so I'm going to talk about this. But like when they find, remember the last, like I think it's the last scene when they're like they find the security footage that the princess was released.
Yeah, before
he had to fuck the pig, and no one was watching because they were all waiting
right
to watch him fuck the pig on national television. And they're like, we're going to just delete this so he never finds out, like that kind of shit. But I up until more recent episodes, the entire history of you was my favorite episode.
Oh yeah,
with the eye implant things.
Yeah,
like
that was
disturbing, but just everything about it was heartrendingly believable.
Yes,
and the obsessiveness of it, you know, and it just seems so likely. Not the most disturbingly realistic episode, though. You haven't seen that one yet, because you might have, because I'm not sure you know what season you're on. Because you saw Nosedive.
I saw Nosedive.
That was the one that people were like, whoa. that gave a lot of people goosebumps, because it's like, this is 6 months out with Facebook. And,
yeah.
And like, you know, it's a combination of Facebook and whatever that rating app is.
My only, and this is kind of a light criticism of that, I think some of these episodes go a little bit, they run a little bit longer than they need to.
Well, when Netflix took over, they brought in big American actors too, and they started making it more. And then, of course, did you get Hated in the Nation? Did you watch that one? The bee episode?
No,
it's a movie. It's a straight up movie. It's really fucking long, and it's the weakest one of that whole season.
All right. Well, the last one I saw, I'm only up to game test or play test.
Oh, you're two away from San Junipero.
Okay.
Yes.
So yeah,
Shut Up and Dance was
definitely a weak one that went on way too long.
The play test was really bad. The next one is not great. And then
the
next one is Shut Up and Dance.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
It's a one that they've kind of done before, the plot line.
One of the ones I really liked was the Christmas.
White Christmas.
White Christmas, which was the guy from Mad Men.
That's the highest reviewed episode.
Yeah.
Actually.
And that was, I think that
it's actually three stories tied together.
I think
together.
That tied in with... It wasn't quite the same, but it was so close to the one that you were talking about where people had the eye implants.
They go back to that concept, I feel, quite a bit. Like that kind of overlay of technology, like kind of bleeding into your life in that sense. It's a kind of common theme. Because, I mean, you know what a Black Mirror is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this is working. But what did you think of White Bear? Because I really liked White Bear.
I don't know. I had kind of mixed reactions to it. It was really different from the other ones.
Yeah, and most of the time you're like, "This is horrifying," and this is a horror movie.
Yes.
What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, it was much more horror oriented. I mean, like raw, like people chasing you with trying to kill you horror.
Yeah, it was like a bad Resident Evil game for part of it, and then the weird everyone was smiling and with the cell phones.
Yeah, and that was one of the ones, and some of the episodes have the kind of the stinger scenes that they enter mixed with the credits.
Yeah, that did have them, didn't it?
That did, and that was key to that episode, because each one of those, like, looped back around to how they were setting her up.
Right.
So each one of those, like, little during the scenes, they would go back, okay, now they're putting her back in. Okay, now they're doing the initiation to the people who were there for the park.
Right. This is what you can and can't do.
Yeah. And that really, that bit really transformed what
it was pretty. It was pretty important.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they put the picture of the girl.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of got, oh, okay, this is all a put on
right.
at the end. But then in the credits, they're like, this is how it works. Right. This is people buying into it.
This is
the people showing up at this park to have fun.
Oh, yeah. It's the ultimate righteous indignation. You know, like it's torture. It's justified torture.
Yeah.
You know?
And that, to me, that was more, those bits at the end were more disturbing than the actual horror
parts. It's so light. It's so light and like off the cuff to the characters. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'll tell you, as a parent, like it was really mixed. Because, the horror and the revulsion you feel at the way everyone's going along with, and you're like, yeah, what they did was really fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but it's still fucking wrong the way she's being treated, but it's really fucked up, which is the brilliance of it. I'm going through the episodes because I the one Erica was talking about was Be Right Back.
I saw that. I did see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I thought
It was all right. It wasn't the best.
Not the worst.
it was really disturbing though. It was
really. You're like,
this is wrong.
Well, man. It's wrong. Yeah, there's definitely wrong. Well, because, and again, the brilliance of the show, but they really get into like, well, we all want to not, if you lose someone, you don't want to lose them fully, but what happens if you don't?
Yeah.
Let's really explore that. Let's take that a little too far.
I give you that. That was definitely, that was within that really plausible window.
Well, the soft science they used to explain it felt like not that far out. Like,
exactly.
Oh, you could build an AI. So
if somebody wanted to do this, they could.
With the right
person.
Within
like a year or two.
Yeah. And it has to be, and even they said in the episode, like, oh, he did a lot of posting.
Yes.
So he would be a good candidate.
Good candidate, yes.
Because you could build an AI, you could build an algorithm and an artificial intelligence based on all of the social presence that they had.
Yeah. I mean, once you have like the physical android there.
Well, that was the extension. Yeah, that went into sci-fi territory.
Far, yeah.
But even that was treated with like a realistic kind of revulsion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what have I done? This is really fucked up. 15 Million Merits was really good. I think you were the one. Saw that one a while ago because you told me about
it. Yeah, I saw that one a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I really, they do a good job with these.
It's like 1984 meets American Idol.
But anyway, the Philip K. Dick stuff doesn't come anywhere near this. It's not. It's, I'm going to spoil the first one.
Don't worry,
I'm
going to
spoil the first. This is like the Anna, whatever.
Anna Paquin.
Paquin episode. I think it was Anna Paquin.
I think you're right, because I remember her in the
commercial. It starts off with her as a cop in the not too distant future.
I already don't buy it.
Yeah. And she's doing future cop stuff.
Future cop.
It's like, and she's
Ryan,
just like
Ryan Gosling walks
she's
by.
Like got this like she's got a vapid expression through most of the whole thing
because it's Anna Paquin.
Yeah, because it's Anna Paquin.
By the way, she has that in real life too. I can confirm that.
And things get rough, and she's like, she's got a pretty good life in some senses because she's got this hot lesbian wife.
Oh, it's edgy.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But the cop stuff is taking a toll on her, so she does this thing where it's like a virtual reality. You know, you put on your head, it takes you in another world, makes you think you're somebody else in a different time, a different place for a while. So,
but it's not a implanted memory of going to Mars.
No.
Okay.
No.
So we're not Total Recalling here.
So the conceit is that it's different for whoever uses it because it goes through your mind and gives you what you want.
So it's playtest, but instead of scary, it's pleasurable. Okay.
Yeah. So when she does that, she goes into another world where she's a black man. And
oh, that's kind of cool.
He's not very happy. His wife has been killed. He's kind of in a bad spot. He's like a rich guy. He's really rich. He can do whatever he wants, but he's sad all the time.
This sounds like that Rick and Morty arcade game.
And he's like still doing like vigilante sort of cop stuff.
Okay.
It's weird. And then he's got this VR thing. It's in the past from where she is.
Okay, I'm getting confused.
So yeah, and that's sort of the thing because he puts his VR on and then it's back to her.
Oh, okay.
So it's this,
I thought there was gonna be a third character. I was like, no, I can't follow this rabbit hole.
So it's like the whole thing is like, oh, which one is who's the real dreaming? One?
Right.
Who's which is the reality? Which is the fantasy?
Lame.
Yeah, and then he's thinking. When she's the male character, she's like, this must be real because this sucks. And why would I have this as my fantasy? And then she thinks the same thing finally back when she's in her life. She's like, I have things really good here. This has to be the fantasy. And you see where this is going.
Yeah.
So she does she transfers one more time back to the shitty life.
Uh-huh.
And decides not to jump back.
Right.
And then it pans out and they're like, oh, well, she's gone. We can't bring her back now. She must just feel like she needs to torture herself. And so, yeah, her happier life was the real one.
Right.
But she didn't feel like she deserved it.
Right.
And that's your twist ending.
No.
I know, exactly. No, and that is exactly the reaction I had. I was like, really? All right. No.
That's a gotcha that I got.
Yeah.
I wasn't gotcha.
Yeah, and that's the level. And I haven't seen all of these. I'm just talking about the first couple. I won't get into the second one. There's no point.
But yeah, I could totally see how that's a hard thing structurally to change from a narrative standpoint. Like, I'm sure that's what the initial conceit was.
Probably.
So how do you... But that's going to seem dated now.
Right. Exactly. And the core stuff structure we're talking about, Black Mirror, it's like it's so many iterations. It's so much evolved from this that it's not even... Well, okay, maybe playtest. Not quite so much. Even playtest was...
It could have been a good episode, but it wasn't. You know what I think it's funny is what was really distant future when Philip K. Dick was writing it. Like that was a different approach to sci-fi. What Black Mirror does so well is it really gives you that kind of itchy, awful feeling in the back of your like head,
because
you're like, this doesn't feel that far off from where I am.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, I think that's the power of Black Mirror.
Yeah.
And so that works really well.
Yeah.
And the distant sci-fi thing is it's old, it's dated. So, and I think we're a smarter, more savvy, we need a different intellectual stimulation as a viewing audience now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I could see why it would not. Yeah. I could see why that wouldn't do well now, even without Black Mirror directly watching it directly before.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess it depends on your level of like, you know, if you're watching CSI Miami a lot, Like, Electric Dreams might.
It might be what you want. Like, whoa. It might be like, whoa, that just blew my mind.
I'm so sci-fi right now. What? The Happy Life was real?
What?
Where is David Caruso taking his sunglasses off? Shit. you remember my friend Elliot? He was one of my groomsmen at my wedding.
Just vaguely.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. He just had a guest starring role on Criminal Minds.
Oh.
And I can't watch it because I cut the cord and I don't have... I cannot. I physically have zero access to the new episodes of Criminal Minds. I checked like 4 different services. I can't do it.
Kind because of, it's a regular network.
But Hulu doesn't have it. And PSVU... I mean, you could
just hook up an antenna and watch it when it's actually airing.
Well, yeah, but you have to catch it. So you need to record it. You need some kind of recorder, too. It's not just an antenna.
Or you could just, you know, say, oh, it's on now.
But it aired already.
Okay.
So, like, I don't know how to get it at this point. And I went on PSVU, and they have, like, seasons 2, 4, and 7, 3 episodes each. And that's all the Criminal Minds shit they have. I'm like,
all right, so this is, maybe we probably wrap this up soon.
Yeah.
But we're looking at this. We're trying to figure out, you know, should we just ditch cable completely and use something like, Sling?
I would recommend PSVU over Sling.
Really?
You can get more for the money, yeah.
But the problem that I have is that the local networks, you can't, you don't get those anywhere.
Meh. What do you need a local network? Do you watch the news?
Do
you watch sports, Mike?
No.
Do you watch the weather?
If I watch sports, I'd be fine because they're very well.
But what do you need the local? I mean, really think about it. Take off your old man afraid to call Time Warner to get HBO hat for a second and really think about it. Why do you need the local networks?
My wife likes watching Court TV.
They don't have Court TV?
Not on demand. No.
On Sling?
No.
Okay. I don't know. You should check the others. They all have slightly different lineups.
Yeah. That's one of those things.
Okay. Well, no. Erica had to give up Comedy Central. There was no way for us to make that work.
What?
Yeah.
Why'd you get Sling for that then?
Because everything else PSVU had better.
Okay.
You have to give up something.
Okay.
Everyone has a slightly different lineup.
So how much is PSVU?
PSVU, we have the base package is perfect for us. And it's like $40 a month. And it's basically cable.
Huh.
But here's the thing, and here's what no one really talks about.
I mean, that's like the same or maybe even more than Sling. And I'm not sure what...
Well, Sling, you need to get close to what PSVU has, you have to get both Sling packages.
There's a site where you can sort through all the packages. Is there a site that compares everything?
It compares everything. YouTube Now, Hulu, Live TV... PSVU, Sling, there's at least one or two more. Like, everyone's rolling them out. Time Warner has one now. Do you know that?
What?
They have their own, like, streaming version of their own service.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to find that site.
But here's the thing. Here's the problem with all of them.
So my problem is I need local somehow.
Right. Yeah, you'd have to see if one of them carries Court TV. I don't know. I'm telling you, you have to give up something. There's no magic bullet. And they are not at the true a la carte state yet. Hmm. Like, if you want only premium, sure, you can get just Stars or just HBO.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want anything of any of the cable, traditional cable channels, AMC, you know, FX, all that kind of shit, you got to pay somewhere. God. But the real problem is
less expensive than just straight up cable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The real problem, though, is that the licensing deals are different.
What?
So this was what no one seemed to be able to explain when I was doing a shit ton of research. So the problem with cutting the cord, the one issue we had, was... So for instance, ABC mm-hmm. is draconian. They will not... A lot of channels will give the option on PSVU of both on-demand
mm-hmm.
and DVR. So you're allowed to DVR stuff in the cloud. There's no limit. You'll keep it for 30 days and it's just there for you. But... then other channels won't let you DVR anything. And it's only on demand.
Okay.
And then some of those channels force you to watch commercials. And then some of them force you to watch more commercials than if you're watching on cable, like ABC. And some of them, most of them, who are only on demand, only keep the last 5 episodes available. So Preacher started season 2, which really liked the first season. We're looking forward to it. Missed it for, you know, a month or two. missed the whole season because by the time we realized it was on, it's already like sixth episode was the first one we could get.
Oh, yeah. So there's no on demand for the whole season right now. You have to basically wait until they eventually.
Well, now it's on Netflix and Hulu. So okay. If you wait long enough, it all works out. Right. But if you want to, like, if you're afraid of having something ruined, like water cooler talk kind of stuff, like Game of Thrones, forget about it. You're paying for HBO, but that's a given. But yeah, it is not perfect. Cord cutting is not a perfect thing. But Sling did not have DVR, and I still don't think they have DVR. That's out of beta yet.
I'm not going to. I think they might, but I'm
okay.
Not
it was
sure.
In beta when we did this almost a year ago. It was in beta, okay. So you couldn't get it. You had to be invited. So PSVU had unlimited, you know, DVR for all the stations that allow DVR. So everything's got its limitations, but yeah, there's a lot more involvement to it. But we've got it down now. Like, luckily, Erica realized that the new X-Files that started a couple of weeks ago. We're like, oh shit, we got to get on that. So as long as you're kind of keeping up with what's on, it's fine. But you know what? Go anywhere I want. Tracks how much, you know, like we have two Fire TVs upstairs and downstairs, so we move upstairs after watching something downstairs, it knows exactly where we were. Like, it's way more versatile than cable, you know. So there are advantages, and of course mobile computer, like there's a lot of that too. They all give you multiple. I think PSV gives you 5 concurrent streams. So yeah, if you there's a site, you just Google Versus, so Sling versus PSVU, and it'll come up. This is one site that's really great. It gets Cord Cutter, but they just keep track of everything.
All right,
cool. And they'll give you recommendations.
Check it out.
We just, really quick, we were still on Time Warner Internet after we cut the cord.
Yeah, I mean, what's your option?
Spectrum. And boy, were we stupid not to do it sooner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we had a cable guy come.
We were looking at that, too.
So we had a cable guy come last week because we've been having some internet connectivity drops. And, you know, the network's expensive and new, so I didn't see how it was that. The modem's brand new. We were talking to you about it. So the guy came and he's like, I heard you had your own modem, so I was going to tell you it's your modem. It's not your modem. I was like, yeah, no shit, it's new. He goes, yeah, normally I wouldn't tell you to have your own modem, but your modem's great. He goes, the problem is you had, like, 3 splitters between you and your internet. Because, you know, the house was wired for like TV in every room by the previous owners. So he took out everything. It's now a straight line in to the internet. And then I said, hey, by the way, we're still on Time Warner. Is Spectrum much better? And he goes, well, I don't know what you pay, but, you know, Spectrum's minimum is 100 down and 10 up.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, how much is it? And he goes, oh, it's like 60, 65. I'm like, I'm paying $7 a month for 25 down and 2.5 up. So I called in about 10 minutes. They literally, by the math, quadrupled our speed. And I'm paying $5 less a month.
Yeah, we definitely need to do that.
Just do it. Just call them. They're super nice. Because it's the nicest call they get all day. You're just like, hey, I'm on Time Warner. I'd like to switch to Spectrum. They're like, okay. It'll take you down for about 20 seconds. They seem to not want to tell you that. But yeah, I ran a speed test. Lost connection. Got it back. Ran it again. It was 4 times faster. I was like, motherfucker. I have 2 people in our house working from home. I had to coordinate with my wife to upload files for work. I'm like, hey, babe, I got to do a storyline file. It's like 200 megs. She's like, I guess I'll go take a shower because I'm not going to be able to do anything while you do this. That's not a problem.
Yeah, anymore. That's our big tip for the evening here.
Do that. If you're still on Time Warner Internet, fucking upgrade that shit to Spectrum. It is a huge
less jump. Expensive and more bandwidth.
4 times the bandwidth.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. We are Buddies in Space. You are...
S. Michael Smith, and you are...
M. Michael Carassi.
Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress entertainment production. Visit StolenDress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books.
I'm tired, man. Screeching of children is still echoing in my head. And I put a ton of ice melt out because we had all these old people coming and I didn't want them to fall on the ice. And they all brought the ice melt like goo.
Yeah, because it turns into like this sort of
the viscous.
Yeah.
And no one understood. Thank you, because you get this. No one believed me. I'm looking at the floor. I'm like, fuck. Because our cork, like, it just soaks everything in.
Yeah.
So after everyone left.
And it doesn't evaporate.
No.
Is the thing.
It hardens, but not fully. So you get this slightly sticky, disgusting film over anything. Everything.
Yeah.
And it got tracked all over our first floor.
Because we got some in the back of Mel's car.
Uh-huh.
But it's got a liner in it, so it's not,
okay.
You know, it's not getting ruining anything. It's right. not ruining anything. But it's like, why is this wet? Oh, it's the ice melt. And it's like, it just looks wet now the whole time.
It's nasty. And yeah. if you feel it, it's not.
I have not felt it.
It's not water.
But I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, it's gross. Anyway, I had to mop the floor 4 times. Because by the door, it had soaked in so much. So I mopped it again today, and I kind of got most of it out. Yeah. But it's like, I'm getting an industrial mat if we have a party in the winter again. It's gross.